Let's start. First one is the accountability report. Apparently, yeah, you've got it in your mailbox. Oh, quite late, sorry, but just received it actually, I think, long time ago. Bartel, you walk us through this document, anything in particular you'd like us to pay attention to?
It's, say, one of the, say, if you would go, it's scrollable, so that's a good thing. This document is up for public comment. I thought you might be interested as the GRC, because part of it, if you scroll down to, say, the review and development of processes, it's clear that's one of the primary roles and responsibilities of the GRC. That's one. Also, there is a recommendation from the Workstream 2 with respect to how these processes should take place. It clearly shows and indicates a role for the GRC. And finally, there are some recommendations, say the main ones that said, I believe, or you can go to the executive summary. There are some particular SO and AC's focused recommendations which should not be done. So I thought that, as this working group is so closely involved and engaged with the transparency and accountability of the CCNSO, it might be useful for this group to advise something to the council and or directly to the SOAC or to the CCWG as a public comment what it's doing and to support some of the recommendations and where necessary do something else, but at least show support of the direction of travel of the of this working stream, say that it's up and to the SOs and ACs to organize it themselves, and what the CCNSO has been doing up to date and what it is doing over the, it depends a bit on how you look at the work plan of the working group, but will do over the next year to, in order to implement and to maintain and update the accountability processes and procedures. That's the reason for doing it. Over to you, Katrina.
Very much. Yeah, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Any immediate comments? In the report, you'll find the text that we provided when they asked for feedback from us. So I think the same happened with other groups as well. So there are some parts that we have provided, and we have to pay attention to some recommendations. Other things that Workstream 2, the working group, proposed for us to take into account. Bart?
Just a minute. Yeah. May I suggest that, say, that a small group of this, of the working group, say one or two members, just go over, or two or three members, just go over the report and say, with staff's assistance, and comes up with some, and this could be done by email, if there are areas of concern and or support, and then put this in a bullet and that we try to draft something very high level and comprehensible, either to for the CCNSO Council and or to submit directly.
Okay, thank you. I think, first let's ask who volunteers to review this document and prepare some few bullet points and some recommendations that we should take into account. So any volunteers?
Katrina and Bart, this is Eduardo. Which is the time and the timing expected for this process?
I would say the next GRC call. So that would be mean by Friday next week. You have some place, and the public comment is. Let me check the public comment. And I'll enter it into the chat.
Okay, thank you. If we speak about implementation, I think it would be good if we meet it by the time when we have organizational week, hopefully at some time next week. Oh, so next year. So that's about implementation. Okay, so any volunteers? Loads of hands.
I can do one, Eduardo.
Okay, Eduardo, you volunteer. Thank you, Eduardo.
Awesome.
And Ben. So Eduardo and Ben will review the document and tell us what to do. Okay, thank you very much. Let's move forward. Next agenda item is a guideline on approval action procedure. Before we move to the updated document, I would like to ask him to share a picture that, in which I tried to summarize the process the way I understand it. Stephen, it would be good if you could have a look and say if that's correct. So my understanding is that first there is event that triggers approval action, for example, change in the fundamental bylaws. Then this triggers some public comment period. During this period, CCTLD can submit comments directly to ICANN. Then we have ICANN staff report, then currently I don't know timings for public comments, I think it's for today, it's public comment period. So then ICANN board reviews and makes a decision, and then when ICANN board decides, EC administration gets a notice, and then currently AC administration may ask for community forum. And then after community forum, we have 21-day period during which CCTLD can submit comments to the CCTL Council, and then at the end, the Council decides. Yes, it's new graphic. I finished it 5 minutes ago. Oh, sorry, 15 minutes ago now. 5 minutes before the call. So would be good to make it even more accurate with all the timing. And if it looks okay, then this is something we could share with our community so that the process is clear to everybody. Yes, Bart.
Sorry, I don't see your 21 period between the community forum and the council decision. It's a 20-day one period. That's true. But not room for CCTLD submit comments to the CCTL Council. It will do prior to the community forum. If I look and read Annex D, but I could be wrong. Stephen, do you have any? I don't see the basis for it.
Okay, so I think that it's not correct. My understanding was that during 21-day period, we have to come up with...
Yeah. It's, say, the first one is clear, but, say, the if you look at the community forum, if what I read is, ICANN and any supporting organization or advisory committee, including decisional participants, may deliver to the ECA in writing its views and questions on the approval action prior to the convening of and during the approval action community forum. That's it. So prior or during the community forum. So that's in your waiting and community forum period. Afterwards, it's the decision also the decision to approve.
Yes, but we need something, need to know the views of CCTLD to come up with a decision, don't we?
Yes, but that's...
That's why I think we need to well, after the forum, people are better informed, and then they just feed their views to the CCTLD Council, and then Council come up with a decision. But okay, this is just... the first draft, again, we should add some more information that everybody can ask questions during community forum. Not quite clear what happens between moments when each administration gets notice and then community forum is organized. This is just the first draft. We need to add more pieces to it so that it's...
Katrina?
Yes.
This is Bart. I could imagine that you do this as a voluntary rule, but it's not required by the ICANN bylaws.
I'm not talking about the only bylaw. It's also our process.
Yeah, as an internal process. But then if you want to have 21 days for the CCTLDs to commit, then it makes decision-making impossible.
I'm not saying that we need to... It's a 21-day period. We can split it into shorter periods. For example, here I don't have the moment when we create this archive. For example, when we start archiving all the things. So there are definitely more things that need to be added to this timeline. It's just the first draft. I just want to make it visual and graphically illustrate the process. First, that we understand it ourselves and that we correctly describe it in the guideline, and so that we can show it to the community. It's easier to understand. So, Stephen, please.
Stephen, you're on mute. Yes.
Okay. Katrina, you're correct on this 21-day thing under 1.4. Subsection A, there is a 21-day period in which the decisional participants have to make up their minds as to what they're doing with regards to the approval action. I correct myself on my prior comment.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Again, this is the first draft. We make it more detailed, let's say. But I hope that it will help us to understand what's going on. Okay, thank you. Now let's move to the current version of the document, and Bart, I ask you to walk us through it and highlight some of the information.
If you keep the timeline in the back of your mind, based on what Stephen shared 2 weeks ago, and after some discussion, and one of the things is I would try to streamline it with language from the NXD. Hopefully, I've done so. So there is, say, first of all. Let's go to, if you can scroll down to section 3, because it's scrollable anyway. General provisions, first most important one is the approval action manager. The way I've structured it this time is there will always be an approval action manager. This could be the chair or somebody the chair designates. But so you always have an approval action manager, so that role is defined. And the definition of that role is obligations, etc. And the way it's done, say, is appointed by the council chair or other will be informed. And there is this bit about the communication. So that's section three. So the most important one is, and this is just for understanding, always an approval action manager. So to distinguish this person from other councillors, assuming this will be a councillor. The second bit major change is where I try to align the procedures with what's in Annex D. That's why I've pointed out this out to Katrina. But first of all, and this is a new one, if you recall from the drawing from Katrina, there will be something like that an approval action is anticipated. It could be a fundamental bylaw change, or it could be even selling off the assets, or the third option is amendments, articles amendments, as contemplated in 24. So that's the articles of incorporation, I believe. So these are the three events for an approval action, and you can anticipate this because, say, you either have a board decision and that needs to go through public comments, and once this is happening, you know this procedure is upcoming, so you can plan for it. And so that's what I tried to capture in 4.1, anticipate the approval action. And based on this, and this is what the CCNSO has already done, you saw the email from Katrina around the fundamental bylaw change, there is a typo there, to alert. We've created dedicated web and or wiki pages, and then the new one is the approval action manager will be appointed in, as foreseen in this guideline. So that's the anticipated part. Then the approval action board notice, that's probably the next real milestone in this procedure, and it's just to set the tone. And you can even say, because that will trigger a heap of events. Say, first of all, it's a signal for the ECA to formally call for a community forum. And secondly, based on this one, the CCNSO will need to take certain actions. And one of them is to delineate and define a timeline for this specific approval action. In this case, the fundamental bylaw change, the ones we currently live on with, but also to map out the different timelines, etc. So that's the impact of the approval action board notice. And you can take all kinds of preparation already once you know this is coming. Then the approval action community forum, following the blah de blah. And I think that the real one is 4.4, when the CCNSO Council requests the community to provide input or feedback, and that the approval action on the approval action under consideration, and the approval action manager more or less consolidates the input received from the community, if wanted by community members, and conveys this to the ECA as required under the bylaws. Again, there's some procedural language around it with timelines, etc. And then you move in, say, into this, the CCNSO Council decision-making. And this is, and again, this is up for discussion, whether you want to allow CCNSO community feedback on what the results of the community forum. And the way I've done it is structuring it is say it takes in all kinds of say the relevant feedback received, or the council takes in the relevant feedback received during that period, etc. So you may want just to depends a bit on the type of decision, I would say, whether and how you want to structure it in order not to run into too many issues regarding the timeline. But that's, of course, it's up to you. What is important here is, as you all know, there are the rules of the CCNSO that council decisions and votes are subject to member votes if 10% or more of the members ask for such a vote. And say, especially with the 21-day period, such a that would limit, say, it would be practically infeasible to have and conduct a membership vote because that will definitely surpass the 21-day frame. So I've got two alternatives. You could argue both ways that it's needed or not needed, but say, alternative one is, say, the CCNSO rules do not apply, then they say the 21 days is fully available for the CCNSO council to take a decision. If the 20 say if the rules apply, then you need to take the council needs to take into account at least 7 days after publication of the decision in order for the decision to become effective. And what does it mean? Say what does this imply? And this goes back to the Annex D bylaw language. Say if a SO or AC or a decision or participant does not approve, or sorry, abstains, it will be recorded as abstention. Say in the case of a vote, you could argue, and I would strongly argue, that the effectively the CCNSO is abstaining from taking a vote because the approval vote is just being needs to be overtaken by a member's vote, but this member's vote is not in time to meet the deadlines. And if you look at the Annex D language, it clearly states in section 1.4.A, if a decision does not inform the EC of any of the prior to the expiration of the approval action decision period, the decisional, and that, so that's the end of the 21 days, the decisional participant, so the CCNSO, shall be deemed to have abstained from the matter. So if a membership vote is required, needed, it will not happen within the required timeline, and hence, it will be deemed to, the CCNSO will be deemed to have abstained. So that's the consequence if the rules of the CCNSO apply and the councillor and the CCNSO membership would ask for a vote. It doesn't mean that they will take a vote, but that's the consequence. And then the miscellaneous, the archive section, and then the usual stuff. So that's the way I try to map out, say, the Annex D language to what Stephen has done before, and to the guidelines. And I know it's short date, but I just wanted to share this with you so you can have a look at it and start to comment on this over the next week or so, so it can be fully discussed more in detail at the next GRC call. Thank you, Katrina. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Bart. Martin, please.
Thanks very much, Katrina, and thank you, Bart, for that analysis, which I certainly found very useful. I've got a sort of little follow-up because the democratic deficit here sort of leaves me a little bit with a few concerns. If I've understood you right, Bart, what we're actually saying is, as currently structured, our rules do not allow us to be able to take a CCNSO vote of members quickly enough to respond to the open window of 21 days when the CCNSO would put forward its view. So essentially the outcome of that is that we would rely on the council itself trying to reflect the views of its of the membership, and that sort of leaves me with sort of two thoughts. Thought number one is whether our own rules for voting are open to changes. So in other words, we make an internal rule that would allow in a case like this for there to be a vote of members under a much shorter time scale. And then the second possible way forward, and again I'm just putting this forward as, is it a practical way of going forwards, of perhaps calling a conference call or doing an online poll to find out whether and how many CCNSO members oppose or agree with the outcome, and whether that is that gives us a better way forward to help the council make its decision, because the last thing I would want is for the CCNSO council, the CCNSO itself, to be an abstention. And the last point that occurs to me is that we can't be the only SO that would have problems in getting an understanding of exactly where the membership sits. And I would be quite interesting to know, and I'm wondering whether you, Bart, can talk to your colleagues in the secretariat in the other SOs to find out how they envisage going ahead, because perhaps the third thing is that by the time you get to this action, the thing's been under discussion for a goodly time, and therefore perhaps what we really should be doing is doing that planned thinking up front, so that when the approach of the CCNSO needs to be decided, the CCNSO Council know pretty well how the membership is reacting to the various scenarios. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martin.
Katrina, are you still there?
Yes. And I said, Bart.
You want me to
hear
respond?
Me
yeah, yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, well, you have your hand up. You
yeah,
have
yeah.
your
oh,
hand up.
Just in case.
You're struggling.
Let me clarify some of, say, my initial comments, Martin, to Martin. What is included is based on the assumption, and I think it was inherent in your comments as well, on the basic assumption that the CCNSO Council will take a decision at one point on the approval action. It's not the membership, it is, say, the council will take the initial decision as it is structured currently. So that's one. And if you look at the current rules of the CCNSO, it states once a council takes a decision, it could be subject to a member's vote if 10% or more of the members request a vote. And a member's vote has to be taken by email and is quorate, meaning that at least 50% of the members need to vote. So this answers your question around, say, the formal ability to check with the members. And that's where the real trick is, that a quorate membership vote will take, and that's just the practicalities of it, will take at least 2 or 3 weeks, say 1 week to inform, 2 weeks for voting, including some reminders. That's the experience we had with PDPs, etc. So that's the formal part of the voting. Going back to, and I think that's a very important and principal remark, and this is probably what Katrina alluded to as well, is in her sketch. You're quite right that the decision as though council, say from where I sit, does not and has not taken decisions without knowing the sense and the temperature of the CCTLD community. It's been its strength. And I think the if you go back to the diagram, that's what the 21 days say, where the CCTLD council wants input from the community. That's what Katrina was alluding to. Whether you want to do this for 1 week or 1.5 weeks, that's fine. And you could argue, say, if you do it for a longer period of time, then you almost implicitly go for a rule, for a direction where the rules of the CCTLD itself do not apply for this particular case, because you could argue that way. But that inherently means that the CCTLD, or the CCTLD community at least, needs to be consulted and needs to have the opportunity to provide input and feedback directly to the council based on what they know and heard around the approval action and the results of the community forum. So there is room in under both scenarios how to deal with the membership vote. And as said, your principal point of that the council does not want to be in a position to take an act, to take a decision without having the opportunity to consult the community itself is very true, and to date that always happens. If you go back to the decisions around the CWG stewardship and CCWG accountability, you saw a similar kind of process. Although there was timelines involved, and there was a opportunity for members to call for a vote. That's why you see in all these resolutions, the decision is only effective 7 days after publication. The decision was always taken to after a extensive consultation of the community. And then finally, where the different SOs and ACs are, I can ask my colleagues. Probably they do not have an answer because they don't know, say, with respect to the GNSO, it's very clearly it's only the GNSO council, but they have to go through their internal processes and how they want to deal with this one. I have no clue, nor do they, because I think that they need to discuss this as well. And as with the ALAC, they have a very simple process, and they do have extensive voting, but whether they will be able to meet the deadlines, I'm not aware of as well. But this is probably something for discussion again at the Johannesburg meeting when this becomes aware. And by that time, they need have all of the SOs and AC or the decisional participant need to have their processes and procedures in place. That's it, Katrina. And apologies for the extensive answer.
No, thank you. That's excellent to have extensive answers. Any more questions? I think that, well, another alternative three perhaps, is that right after the community forum, the open members vote, 2 weeks, for example. But yes, if we do not meet the quorum criteria, we do not have time to run second round of voting, which does not require a quorum anymore. We just can assume that I don't know what to assume in that case. Yeah, so, but currently we have two lead alternatives. We can think about the third alternative. Have members vote, or maybe some maybe during the Indigenous or meeting day after community forum, we can sense temperature in the room to see if members believe that vote on this issue needs to be taken. But again, as I already said, if there's no quorum, we will not have time for a second round of voting. Okay, now we have this new version. This one is not in Google Docs, so may I ask Alejandra to put now this on the top of the previous version, the document, so that we can have this document online, so that we can edit it and spend the next 2 weeks very wisely and very nicely by editing this document, the comment in it. Okay, so I think we should hurry because we definitely have to have this guideline approved, because this is something that we will need during Johannesburg meeting. So, yeah, exactly. It would be really good to have it finalized by the next council meeting, which is in May. Oh, I'm not sure we will be able to finalize it, but at least let's try to do it. So 2 weeks, and please be productive. Then we have, if there are no more comments, questions around this guideline, another thing is that Bart, Stephen, and I will try to make this the timeline more accurate and more detailed. Okay, so if that's it, let's move to the next. Sorry. Oh, before we move forward, may I ask the team to show how we solve this? According to our guideline, that's the one we're working on approval actions, we need to have archived. As soon as the process starts, we try to put all the documents together. Now, on the CCNSO website, if you go to the homepage, there on the left, you see approval actions and rejection actions. So if you click on approval actions, you see the list of approval actions. Currently, there's only one. And if you click on fundamental bylaws change, so you can see you have a description and then a date when it started and then a short description. So then you go to the wiki page dedicated to this particular approval action. You have relevant publications, signals of correspondence when we send something out to whoever. And then you have our internal communication. Here we have three emails. Yeah. So from the chair, from Nigel in response to this, and Matthew with a proposal. And then below we have a list of all supports or extensions or rejections from our members. So this is how it's current version of our how we imagine pages dedicated to each approval action. Oh, when we start working on rejection actions, we'll need to think of a skeleton for template for rejection actions as well. So any comments on this? Anything you think we should add? something is missing. Well, but currently we tried to capture all communication we've had so far. If something else will appear, for example, another publication, something, for example, a board decision or any SOAC comes up with something, then we will update it. So, any comments? No? Nothing? Okay, you have time to look at this and think what's missing there. Okay, thank you very much, Kim. Now let's go to the next guideline. It's Council Roles and Responsibilities. We have it in Google Docs. And I saw that Alejandra worked very hard on this document. Unfortunately, I didn't see any comments from others. So, Alejandra, would you like to walk us through your proposals?
Yes, sure. What I did was a little bit of filling a little information that is supposed to be known by everyone, but it's not written anywhere. So, for example, in the responsibilities, roles and responsibilities at the CCNSO Council number 3, I swapped with current list of roles the responsibilities of the CCNSO counselors, because I think it should be important to know what all CCNSO counselors are supposed to be responsible for before any other role. So there I added responsibilities or that I think all CCNSO counselors are expected to do. For example, review the documents that will be delivered on behalf of the CCNSO, review triage committee recommendations, express their preference for CCNSO's representatives, prepare in advance for council calls, attend and participate in council calls.
Sorry, Alejandra.
Yes?
Alejandra, sorry, one moment. I just see that the document we see on the screen is not the one currently in Google Docs. Yeah, Kim, if you could go to the Google Docs, it would be much easier for others to understand what they're talking about. I have it in front of me, but apparently others might not.
That's
yeah, okay. Yeah, this is the one. Thank you, Kim.
So then I added further in the document in 3.3.1 responsibilities of the chair of the CCNSO Council that are also something that we should all know, but it's not written anywhere. So this is a suggestion. Of course, everything is up for comment or editing. And also, furthermore, the responsibilities of the vice chairs of the CCNSO Council. The same thing. It's something everyone knows, but it's not written anywhere. And that was mainly it, my comments and edits.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I think we should not make definite lists, something like, and do other things, something, of course. Otherwise, people can think, oh, that's it and no problem. Although I think that vice chairs can be also assigned some other responsibilities, so it's not as simple as that. Okay, but thank you very much for all your edits and updates. I think this document gets more meat than it had before, but still some work to do. And for example, about 3.5 outstanding issues with, I think it's still IANA, we're checking with IANA Department of ICANN, not with PTI, which is a separate entity. At least that's my feeling, that it still has to be IANA. But those are details. Yes, Bart?
Say, unfortunately, and this is my fault, I should have added and made changes to this document. The one you just saw on the screen was about the council and council elections. I suggest that the council and council elections themselves are documented in this document as well, because to date they have not been listed or are not described anywhere. And at the last meeting in Copenhagen, you saw some confusion around some of the rules in among the councillors as well. So they need to be included somewhere, and probably this is the best document to do so. In addition, and this is for future use, also the councillors, etc., who have a role and responsibility with respect to the CCNSO as decisional participant. That's a whole new category. So that needs, I advise that this will be included as well. So I'll make these changes to this document, the ones I suggested, and so you can see them. They're all consolidated in one document.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I think, Brad, that would be good. Alejandro, I think it's better not to merge them to... I'm not sure it's... merging would work in this case. Let Bart do his magic. Okay, so thank you. That's about this one. I did not see any comments from others on this on the council election procedure. There were some doubts from Martin about the threshold and other things, but I do not see any edit in the Google Doc. Yeah, so we still have to go through this council election document. It is in the Google Docs, and Alejandro has sent us links to that document, so please read the document and propose your changes to the document. Okay, about IRP, unfortunately, David is not on the call today. It's still unclear what we're going to do with the IRP, especially if they start the issue of a call for volunteers, and somehow we have to evaluate hundreds of applications. Okay, anyone wants to say anything about IRP? If not, any other business? Anyone wants to raise anything? No? No any other business? Okay, then next call is in 2 weeks, and please use this time to read and comment on the council election guideline. Please review roles and responsibilities. So Bart will update the document, and we'll have it in the latest version in the Google Docs. And, of course, also approval actions. We have Google Docs. Alejandro just updated the document there. So, anyone wants to say anything? Alejandra, yes, please.
Just a comment, since we are doing it a little bit in the chat. Shall we still have two documents, as in council rolls and then council elections, or should we have just one?
Yes. No, these are two documents. One is the council election, that's what the citizens and members do, and the council rolls is something internal for the council, and I don't think we should mix these documents into one. That's my feeling.
Okay, then only the procedure of electing vice chairs and the chair should be gone to
the
election.
It's already in the document. We have election of the chair and we have election of vice chairs. We have it, but Bart will do some magic. See?
Okay.
Yes, and I echo Stephen's comment in chat window. Please pay attention to the approval action guidelines. We need to sort it out and we need to present it to the council. Early May, when we, I think it's the week after our call, we need to present it to the council so that we need to move forward. This is really a hot thing on our plate. Okay, so if no other comments, then thank you very much for being on the call. Ben and Eduardo, we apparently lost him at some point. Ben and Eduardo will go through the compatibility document and see what we can do about that. So thank you very much and see you online and definitely in 2 weeks on the call. So thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. Thanks all.